possible yisod
in this machlokes. Quotes the Rihazakin, who's unlike Rav Acha Mishibcha, who says like Tosos, and he says this rule kol amekel b'arsal k'masa b'chutzlar. It was said by Chazal in a very particular machlokes where we're talking about the status of different fruits and whether they're sechiyuv of trumas and maestros. But in general, we don't evoke across the board kol amekel b'arsal halacha k'masa b'chutzlar. This is the argument of the Rihazakin, that kol hecha de itmar, itmar hecha de lo itmar, lo itmar. So, l'churim, taken by the Rihazakin's argument. In general, if Chazal use an expression, so then the expression is, in that case, you don't apply it to all other cases. So why is it over here that we're going to extend this yisod? Particularly in regards to the halacha of kerem revai in chutz la'aretz. So Rabosa, I'd like to suggest the following chidush based on a famous lamdus that many of you are probably aware of. First of all, a few hanachos over here. Number one, we discussed that in chutz la'aretz, it's very, very hard to say that in chutz la'aretz we say that there's an extension of Eretz Yisrael itself. Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz are fundamentally different from each other. And if you define Arla as fundamentally being a mitzvah atuya ba'aretz, but rather Arla was extended on some level to Chutz La'aretz, and possibly, this might be totally under Reb Chaim, possibly even Revai, so then what's happening over here? Well, what happens when we extend something that normally, according to a simple reading of the pasuk, applies in Eretz Yisrael, you extend it to Chutz La'aretz. So what's reminiscent of is the halacha of Surya, when the Rabbanan, based on Kibush David, extended the mitzvot Hatluyos La'aretz to Surya, so then the Rabbanan didn't come along and say that Syria has a din of Eretz Yisrael. We don't extend Syria and make Syria into Eretz Yisrael. Don't worry, Assad, we have no interest in calling Syria and Eretz Yisrael. But rather, Chazal wanted, because there was so much back and forth between the Jews in Syria and in Eretz Yisrael, because David had conquered there, so then, if you will, there's a Nihug HaGavra. The Gavra is supposed to be Noeg in Syria as if he's in Eretz Yisrael. This came up as a classic discussion when it came to the Heter Mechira. When it came to Mechira, so there were some Rabbanim for Shemitah that suggested the following. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Mem Chesam Ebeis says, Yesh kinyan la'akum la'skia mitrumas ha'maestros, that if a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, so then once he owns it, then that removes the chiyuv of trumas ha'maestros. Now, we paskin, ain't kinyan la'akum la'skia mitrumas ha'maestros, but the Gemara in Gittin says, Beferish, I believe it's a Mem Chesam Ebeis. The Gemara in Gittin says, Beferish, but in Syria, there we say yesh kinyan la'akum l'skiyah mitrumas ha'maestros. So here, listen to the cheshbon of the great Matirim for the Hetzem Mechira. They said like this: once we say yesh kinyan la'akum l'skiyah in Syria, why is that so? Because in Syria the chiyuv is only midrabanan. So once the chiyuv in Syria is only midrabanan, so then we would say yesh kinyan la'akum from trumos and maestros. When it comes to midrabanan, then we're makel on that nekuda. Said the Matirim, how do we paskin bezman hazeh? Shemitah bezman hazeh d'oraisa d'rabbanan. So if you read over the Rambam with the Frankel edition of the Rambam, not with the mistakes in the old edition in the Rambam, so it's clear that the Rambam holds that Shemitah bezman hazeh d'rabbanan because there's no yovel. So Shemitah bezman hazeh d'rabbanan, so he said like this: if Shemitah was d'oraisa, then you couldn't sell Eretz Yisrael to a guy to be mafkia from Trumas HaMaisos. But since Shemitah bezman hazeh d'rabbanan, so then just like there's a kinyan akum to be mafkiyah trumas ha'maestros, so too the same would apply to Shemitah. So Chazanish objected, and Chazanish said trumas ha'maestros and Shemitah might be different. Let's leave the Chazanish's objection alone for a second. But let's say you could equate trumas ha'maestros and to Shemitah, and to say that just like in Syria we say yesh kinyan la'akum, so too when it comes to trumas ha'maestros as well, when it comes to Bizman Azeh, where Shemitah is only to Rabbanan, so then we'll also be able to be Mafkia. So now, what's the response to our argument? The Machmirim wrote back, the Beis HaLevi in his Tshuva, in Chelek Gimel Siman Aleph, wrote back the following response. The Beis HaLevi said, no, you split the two things up. When it comes to Eretz Yisrael Bizman Hazeh, Eretz Yisrael is full-fledged Kedusha. It's just that there's a technicality that the Shemitah is not Daraisa because Bezdin didn't pronounce it as Shemitah. But Eretz Yisrael has full-fledged Kedusha. In Syria, here's an important formulation. In Syria, the Chiyuv is only a Niyug HaGavra. If it's only a Niyug HaGavra, so then we say Yesh Kin Yilakum Laskim Yitzumis and Maestros, and possibly from Shemitah as well. But in Eretz Yisrael, the Heter Mechira won't work. This is a Hagdama. What's the Hagdama bring out? The Hagdama brings out that when you have, in Chutz La'aretz, when you have a Chiyuv that's built off of the Chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael, the Chiyuv is not an intrinsic din in the Chesta, but rather it's a din of a Niyug HaGavra. So far, so good, Rabbosai? Everybody has the first step? Straightforward. Let me throw in now another famous idea. And that is, there's a famous question that the Ramban asks on the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that all the Rabbanans, all mitzvahs the Rabbanan, comes from the rule of Lo Sasa. The Pasuk says, Lo Sasa, Me'adavar Asher Yeruchu Yaminu Shmol. So the Rambam understands that that becomes the source, a biblical source for every mitzvah the Rabbanan. The Ramban gets himself into trouble when he disagrees with the Rambam. On the one hand, he has strong objections to the Rambam. On the other hand, he says, no, it's not true. The Rabbanan don't have a biblical source. So then, why do you have to keep the Rabbanan if the Torah doesn't tell you? So that's a big discussion. Well, Chan Vasserman has that in his sefer. But at the end of the day, the Ramban says to the Rambam, it can't be that every Durabbanan is based on the Pasuk of Lo Sasur. Because if every Durabbanan is going to be based on the Yisr of Lo Sasur, so then, what's the rule? Safik Daraisa L'chumra, we all know, Safik Durabbanan goes L'chula. But every Durabbanan, says the Ramban, according to Rambam, is a Daraisa. So how do you say Safik Durabbanan is L'chula, if every Durabbanan is based on the Pasuk of Lo Sasur? Famous Hasaga, the Ramban in Shur Sheni, the Ramban says, so then in such a case, we should say Safik the Rabbanan also goes L'chumra, because every Durabbanan is based on the Pasuk of Lo Sasur. So therefore, the Ramban says what the Rambam had said was inaccurate. The famous Teretz given by Reb Chaim was put down in writing most clearly, not by Reb Chaim, by the Ar Sameach, the Meshech Chachma, on the Pasuk of Lo Sasur. One of the greatest works of the 20th century is the work of the Meshech Chachma. There's everything there, Pardes. You have everything in the Sefer Meshech Chachma. There you also have standard Lamdas as well. So this is one of the cases where the Meshech Chachma doesn't bring together Halacha, Lamdas. In those days, they didn't call it Chassidus, but or at least the Meshech Chachma didn't call it Chassidus. But you could very well you see that the Meshech Chachma weaves together many different ideas. Here, this is a classic Lamdash piece. The Meshech Chachma gives a beautiful answer. And the Meshech Chachma says, the answer to the question of the Ramban, on the Ramban, is that even though in the Torah there is a source for Yisurei D'Rabbanan, the difference between Yisurei D'Rabbanan and Yisurei D'Oraisa is the classic expression, Yisurei D'Oraisa are Yisurei Chetza, and Yisurei D'Rabbanan are Yisurei Gavra. What does that mean, that Yisurei D'Rabbanan are Yisurei Gavra as opposed to Yisurei D'Oraisa? So the Meshech Chachma alludes to the following question. According to Rambam, how could it possibly be that the Rabbanan come along and say you can't eat chicken with milk? It says in the Torah 613 mitzvahs. You can't add another lav. You can't say that there's an Isser Basar of B'chol. That's Bal Tosfos. So how did the Rabbanan come along in general? How could the Rabbanan come along and add a mitzvah? The answer is they're not adding an Isser to the Torah. They're not saying, they're not creating a new Chetzah Macholot Asuris, but rather they're putting a gate around the Gavra, and they're saying, you Gavra, if you want to protect the Torah, so then in such a case, don't eat Basar of B'chol. But they didn't create a new Isur Chesed, but rather Isurei Derabanan are Isurei Gavra, not Isurei Chesed. This is what the Meshech Chachma writes, is the difference between the two. That, he claims, answers all of the objections in this very, very difficult Rambam. And that is the following. When the Torah says Lo Sasur, they're telling you there are going to be rabbis that are going to come along and going to tell you Gedarim. Those Gedarim you should listen to. When they give you an absolute Gedar, those things you should listen to. Says the Meshech Chachma, Isurei Torah are Isurei Chetzah. What's an Isur Chetzah? Isur Chetzah is spiritual poison. It's a spiritual poison to eat Basar Mamish Bechol. Now, if somebody had a Safek poison, if someone has a Safek of of whether it's poison. So of course, in such a case, halacha is that he has to eat. That he can't eat it. It's a davar pashut, you can't eat such a thing. That's the rule of Savik d'oraisa l'chumra. Savik d'oraisa l'chumra says it's just a svara by itself. It says that if you have Savik spiritual poison, you don't eat it. But if you understand the Isur d'Rabbanan says the Meshech Chachma, the way I understood it, the Isur d'Rabbanan are Isur Gavra, and this opens up many, many difficult sugyas and shas. Reb Chaim used it by Shulis in the Darim very often. If you hold that Isur d'Rabbanan are Isur Gavra, so then you need one Knech, which you could disagree with. Every shas, you know, there's always, you could find a weak point. He says, so Chazal only asserted things bitur vadai. They only made their isurim when it was a vadai isur. So if you're talking about a suffik poison, suffik chesta, then you have to be machmir. But a suffik drabanan, then it goes the kula. Even though the source ultimately is in the Torah. But the source in the Torah is only when the rabbis give you a vadai gether. But if they never gave you a vadai gether, so then you could be mekel. The rabbis only answered it bitoras vadai. You could be mefakpek with that. You might have a Gemara that seems to say not that way. I don't have a Gemara that says not that way, that I know of. So let's assume that the Meshech Chachma is right. So ad kan divrei Meshech Chachma. This is the Meshech Chachma's yisod. If you put these basic yisodos together, I think one could understand what's going on over here. Ko hamekil ba'aretz, halacha kemoso b'chutz la'aretz, works in the same manner of the chiluk between Yisurei Darabanan and Yisurei Daraisa. Call Hamekil Ba'aretz, if there's a Shita that's Mekil in Eretz Yisrael you have to be Machmir. Because in Eretz Yisrael, there the Chiyuv comes from the Karka itself. When it's there, it's the status of the Karka, the Chesta of Eretz Yisrael. If it's a Daraisa, of course, you have to be Machmir. However, in Chutz La'aretz, so there, the Halacha, even in the Din Daraisa, the Halacha is not a Din. The halacha is not a din in the chesta itself. It's a gedder further created in terms of protecting Eretz Yisrael, so then you can rely in the kula. So that's, I think, Lania's daiti, that's where Tesis and all the Rishonim who use Kol HaMekel Ba'aretz Halacha Kameisei B'chutzlaret, where they use it throughout Shas, they understand that the case by Kaprisin is just a model. Why? Because Mistaber is a model. Because Kol HaMekel Ba'aretz Halacha Kameisei B'chutzlaret is not just Stama Halacha vis-a-vis Arlo. It's a Yisod in terms of, number one, when you transfer dinim that are normally associated with Eretz Yisrael, or even you go even further to say that the Tzivui is originally given to Eretz Yisrael and then extended as a Niyoga Gavra in Chutz La'aretz, if you say it that way. So then, in such a case, then we understand Kol HaMekel Ba'aretz Halacha Kameisei B'chutzlaretz. Then you can rely on the lenient opinion. Eretz Yisrael, you have to be Machmir because of Safek poison. But in Chutz La'aretz, there's no din of Safek poison. Kach Nira Lania's Daiti to be Miyashiv, the Rabbeinu Yoina's Kasha. Rabboisai, this is dessert. This is not called learning. This is Geshmak. This is beautiful, but this is the end of Sugya. To throw a far out. But that's not called learning. Learning is to learn up a Gemara. For sure you need both. You need also the dessert as well. But these svaras, I think, are very, very beautiful. It reminds me of a story. They say the boys in Tar V'Das, they legend has it, did not like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's shiurim so much. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was a gadol b'Torah. Nowadays, everybody quotes Rav Yaakov's Torah, both Ala Torah as well as when they have his writings on Shas. But they there were times they didn't like, Rav Yaakov didn't say a lot of geshmaka things. One day Rav Yaakov came in and he said the most enjoyable shir. So the boys said to him, Rebbe, the shir was great. Could you do a little bit more of what you did? He said, oh, you liked the shir? They said, yeah, we really, really liked it today. And they were alluding to him. They want him to say more like the way he was saying that day. So Rav Yaakov said, I'll tell you the truth. I had four weddings last night and I didn't have any time to prepare the shir at all. I said over something that in the back of my head, there's a couple of yisvaras, yisodos, that I knew throughout Shas. But normally, he says, I have time to prepare. So then we go through the Gemara Rashi Tosas and we break apart every word. So it turns out when Rav Yaakov didn't prepare, that's when they enjoyed shir. What it reflects is sometimes that what's very, very geschmack, I happen to hold that this geschmack of ours is emes l'amita. But at the end of the day, we didn't notice anything here. I mean, we noticed yesterday. We didn't notice anything in the Minei Ubei. The Minei Ubei, the limud in the Minei Ubei of the Gemara Rashi is the most important. Now, I have to tell you, this Minei Ubei on Lamed Hei Amud Beis is, oh, for me, was the black hole in case of Mevarchin. I always got stuck here. But Be'ezer Hashem, I think I finally, after a few times of learning this, you'll see why. Be'ezer Hashem, I think I finally have a little bit of a handle of the Gemara. You're going to tell me if I'm right. It could be I'm totally wrong. But let's try to learn the Gemara, six lines from the bottom on Lamed Hei Amud Beis in regards to the Bracha of Shemen. Gufa, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. By the way, the Achrayim asked, what are Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, V'chein Amar Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan adding? Shemen Zayis Mevarchim Al Borei Pri Eitz. We already learned above. The Gemara already said that you learned that gets a Borei Pri Eitz. So maybe we'll answer it by then, maybe we won't. But this is a question that one can ask when one reads it. In other words, the Gemara right above had said that the halacha is that you get a Borei Pri Eitz. Okay. Hei Chidami, continues the Gemara. What exactly was the case of Shemen. Ilema de Kashasilei Azuke Maskile. If you're going to say that he drank the Shemen, so in such a case, it's Mazikin. Disanya. As the Gemara proves from the halakas of Truma. Hashesh Shemen Shel Truma, Mishalimis Hakeren, Ve'ena Mishalimis Hachemish. Hasok Shemen Shel Truma, Mishalimis Hakeren, Umishalim Es Hachomish. So if somebody drinks the oil of Truma, so then in such a case, he doesn't pay the Chomesh, but if he anoints himself with it, that's the normal way to use it, so then in such a case, he does pay a Chomesh. So Rabotai, what's the Raya from Truma? So Rashi explains, Desanya, I'm going out of order on Rashi for a moment, Desanya de la barachilah. We see that Shemen is normally not considered a barachilah. Now, what's the proof? The proof is Chomesh. Continues Rashi. Hashoyfe Shemen Shel Truma B'Shoegeg. The Chiyuv of Chomesh is only B'Shoegeg. Mishalim Es HaKeren K'Sham Mazik Es Chaver B'Memeinei. Ve'ein Mishalim Chomesh D'Gabi Chomesh Achila K'Siv. V'Ishki Yochal Kodesh B'Shgoga. Prat L'Mazik. And in this case, he's considered a Mazik. So the Gemara brings a Raya from Truma. That by Truma, drinking is not considered an old derech of achiva, and to be chayiv in a chomesh, you need to have the derech of achiva. Ella, so the Gemara attempts to answer, the kachale al idea pas, must be that he ate the oil with bread. Yachav le pasik of ahu tafel. It's not derech kachol she yikav imatzon v'rachaliku patzal katzela. In such a case, the oil is a tafel. El de kashas le al idea nigrin. The Amar b'shmol nigrin mind the silka. A nigrin is beef, beet root. A nisgrin, maya de kula shalke. A nisgrin is another aromatic expression, which is boiled vegetables. In cane, havle a nigrin ikar v'shemen tafel. But the Gemara says, if we're talking about a beet juice, so then in such a case, the shemen, in terms of the amount of ingredients, the shemen is a tafel. So then why would it be that it gets a bar priyate? It should get the pashtas, the bar priyadama. Answers the Gemara, no. There is a case where it becomes the Iker. Hachem ma'eskinu b'chayshish b'groinu. D'sanya, chayshish b'groinu, lo yarenu b'shem tzkilu b'shabbos, avonoy se shemen harbel esoich ha'nigran u'boleya. That if a person's throat is bothering him, so then really, in such a case, the whole reason that he's drinking the whole anigron case is what? The whole reason is because to get the shemen, to make his throat feel better. So if he's doing that, so then on Shabbos, the halacha is that he's allowed to do it because it's not obvious that he's doing it for a fuah. Says the Gemara Pshita. In such a case, it would be pashut that the bracha will be ha'eit because the ikar is he wants the shemen. Mao the same kinu fuah kamacham lo levarach lekla kamash malon kinu de islay hanomi neboy bruchay. So even though it's done the refuah, once you have in mind anah, the bracha, before we break apart the sugya, Tesis and the Ramash Lakim Dislay Anah Bine Boy Bruchai says, Vinir Nadvarin Dim Adam Shaysa Mashkin Ima Mashkin Ram Lishdos Alefla Anah Bine Boy Bruchai. That would mean that for whatever reason a person drinks something doesn't have anah, then it doesn't need a bracha. The Yisrael nominate below our refuah by bruchei. Hence, I told you in the halacha shir from Rav Nevinsal that he said that the question of whether you make the bracha on medicine is a very, very simple rule. It's based on, Rav Nevinsal was saying, it's based on the taisis. And that is that if you enjoy the medicine, so then it gets a bracha, and if you don't enjoy the medicine, then it doesn't. So that's how you solve the question of vitamins. All medicines, even if the person would not have drunk it otherwise, wouldn't have taken it, but if at the end you enjoy the taste, then by definition it's going to get a bracha. Okay. So the halacha is that it gets a bari priya ace when you have hana from the shemen. In order to understand the chiyuv of bracha, of bari priya ace on the shemen, one needs to ask a very basic question of the inverse. When a person does not get hana from the shemen, what exactly is the status of it? Let's take a look. Where we're going to zero in on today is Rashi's Hagdara and compare it to some of the other Gedolei HaRishonim. Rashi says, Azuke Mazik, what happens if you drink the shemen spray? So says Rashi, Azuke Mazik Ligufe. The einzu achila shetuna bracha, the gabe bracha the achaltaksi. So Rashi says that if it's mazikim, so then in such a case it's not an achila that requires a bracha, because by a bracha it needs to be vachalta. And if it's mazik, Rashi goes along and says, if it's mazik the individual, so then in such a case it's lav barachilo. So it's clear from Rashi that over here a shemen that is mazik the individual, in such a case it doesn't get a bracha at all. And what is the hezik? What's a zuke mazik? In such a case, what it means is it hurts the person himself. Now we'll start off in a way we normally don't start, but in many ways this is the best way to start the sugya. And that is that the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam has a different understanding in the Shaklavatarya of the Gemara. The Rambam writes in Perek Ches, Halacha Beis, in Hilchos Brachos. The Rambam writes differently than the way Rashi has been Masbir over here. If the person is nana mishtiyaso, so then in such a case it gets bar priyeh, when it's with vanigrin, avum shasa hashemen levadoi, oishaloya yachashish bigroinoi, mivarech alav shahakol. If he drinks the shemen itself, or if his throat is not bothering him, so then in such a case he gets a shakel. Sharei loy nene b'tam ha-shemen. Because in such a case he's not nene from the shemen. So Rabbosai, first, before we take apart the words of the Rambam, let's just point out that the Rambam read the Gemara on some level differently than Rashi. The Rambam understood that when the Gemara asks, Hei chidami, ilem dekashatile azuke mazikle, according to the Rambam, the question is not that it's not considered achila at all, and therefore not get a bracha. As Rashi goes on to say, the lav bar achilu, if it's not achila, it's pashut that according to Rashi, we not get a bracha. But rather, the Rambam read, Azuke Mazkile is telling us the following. It's saying that the bracha should not be a bari priya eitz. But not that you don't get a bracha, because the Rambam says that if it's choshesh begrono and he, Rambam says that if he drinks the shemen by itself, in such a case the bracha is a shahakol. So according to the Rambam, the Gemara's kasha zuke mazkile is not then you shouldn't get a bracha at all. That's not called achila. According to Rambam, the Gemara Shaila is you shouldn't get a shahako.
How was that implied from other
Gemara? Oh, so first of all, the problem is Mamanim Shach. That's how the Rambam read the Gemara, and let's put Josh's question down and start off with number one. And that is, at the end of the day, that doesn't fit into the words Azuke Mazkile. Azuke Mazkile Luchura means something else. Azuke Mazkile means that it's not Achila. Luchura Rashi is the Pashtus of those words. Can anybody answer with one word? And then I'll be Maris on this in 20 minutes. Anybody have a one word answer for Amar Makom for Josh? Okay, so we still have a lot to build. So, Azuke Maskile, this is the Sarachiyun, that's Sarachiyun number one on the Rambam. Number two, Sarachiyun number two, Bidasa Rambam, is that the Rambam says that you make a Shahakol, Shahare lo nene bitam Hashemen. He wasn't nene bitam Hashemen. Mineu Bey, the Rambam's words don't make any sense. If he wasn't nene, you don't make a bracha. So what does the Rambam mean? Shahare lo nene bitam Hashemen. What does he mean by that? Yes, Ellie?
Just to be honest, I know that the nature of the Hashem.
Beautiful. What you're saying is beautiful. I want to, this I didn't realize the first couple times I learned. I think what you're saying, I didn't say this on my own. Alright, we'll see. I think what you're saying is on the right track. It's a very nice track. But let's show how it mamish comes out from the Mineu Bey in the Sugya. Okay, so these are the two tzarachiyums. Number one is that at the end of the day, what? We don't understand how the Rambam read Azuke Mazkile. Number two is we also don't understand what does it mean Shari lo nene b'tam Hashem. How does the Ketef Mishnah explain the Rambam? The last two lines of the Ketef Mishnah writes, the Ketef Mishnah writes the following: Veremedu mefarish shelo amru ida shatla azuke mazkele fuke masham shivarech la bari priya eitz. When the Gemara says azuke mazke, it just means it doesn't get an eitz. We have Josh and Sarachiyun number one. At the end of the day, Azuki Mazki, what do you mean that's not Bar Priya? I will keep on the Afagad Azuki Mazki, Nenehu Mivar Shahakol. But even though it's Azuki Mazki, he still Nenehu makes the Shahakol. So the test of Mishnah's Pshat begs Sarachiyun number two. And that is, what do you mean that he's Nenehu? The Rambam says, Share lo Nenehu bitam Hashemen. What does that mean that he's not Nenehu? So Achiyu number three, Rabosai, is in Rashi. Anybody bothered about anything in Dibur HaMaskil Azuke Mazik? Yes, Ezra? Beautiful. The Yetzer Hara for looking at Achronim is very big. I saw that everybody right after Rashi, they went to the Rashi Yosef. It's not a bad thing. Halavai, that should be our worst Yetzer, but just make sure that you see the basics. The Prima Gaudin points out that Rashi is very difficult. I was very much bothered that I didn't see anybody ask this, and then I finally saw that the Rosh Yosef asked this question. And that is that Rashi, when he quotes Ein Zu Achila, he says we know that there's a chiyuv of a ma'is achila. Where do we know that there's a chiyuv of a ma'is achila? Shteit in pasuk v'achalta v'savata. But the halta of the Savata is a bracha achrona, it's not a bracha rishona. So what does Rashi mean that since it says v'achalta, so then in such a case, then we need that ma'isachiva. So maybe for a bracha achrona you need it. That's a hakdara. But for a bracha rishona, the pasuk is going on the bracha achrona of birchas hamazon. So the Prima Gaudin says something that I find very, very difficult. And that is that he answers the following. He says you must say that according to Rashi, he's going back to the stage of the Gemara. He doesn't say exactly this way. Let me say the words that he says it. He says it must be according to Rashi. We learn from Vachalta that's built on the rule, Kivan du Sava Mevarech Tishu Rav Lo Kol Shekin. The svara that we had earlier in the Gemara, that V'chalta V'savata informs us also on the Bracha Rishona. Sarech Yun Gadol in this part of the Prima Gadol, because at the end of the day, that was a fleeting Havamina in the Gemara, clearly according to Ritva. But even that according to Ritva, simply by reading the Gemara itself ultimately rejects it. So, it's a little bit difficult why Rashi is using a svara that the Gemara ultimately does not use. In practical terms, how do you know Bracha Rishona? It's under the Duvach Alta V'Savata. Ela Svaru! You have a svara, so you got to use some type of svara, but don't go to Duvach Alta V'Savata. Just one ha'ara. I'll preempt you. Eli pointed out that the simple reading of Rashi, three lines from the bottom, when he says svara, kiven dinene tzarech lahodos l'mishabram, the Rashi also, the pashtus talks about bracha achrona, but then Yaakov pointed out that Rav Shulman in the Sefer points out that there's a Rashi in Sukkah that doesn't understand it this way. So if you put the two Rashis together, maybe without the Rashi in Sukkah, so that I leave for the Talmidim to fight about. At the end of the day, I have a simple reading of the Gemara. I didn't remember Rashi in Sukkah. I thought that the way Eli was reading the Rashi was, you could, even though the simple reading of Rashi is that way, at the end of the day, the Gemara, black and white, says that there's a Svara, Aslat, the Lenin, Solomon, Zebulo, Bracha. Rashi, Bepashtus, is difficult. So, Tzarechiyun number three is that the difficulty of the Prima Gadim and the Yishuv that the Prima Gadim gives is, I find, a little bit lacking. Ellie, you want to give a different theory?
So you need to understand, somebody asked you to ask the chicken, you need to understand that you've got one of the brush up front of here, and you're running out the brush of the Shonel Mikoski in California.
Right.
Or it's just the one of the California, meaning once we're carrying over the...
Okay, maybe. So we put your theory out there, and that's definitely... But it's a big chiddush. It's a totally new mahalach. Maybe when we learn Case of the Varka next time, we'll present it as Rashi Shita. Right now, I still need to be convinced. And at the end of the day, Yaakov tells him Rav Shulman's on my side. So the pashtus is that this is a tzarchiyun in Rashi. Maybe I can't claim that what I'm going to say is better, but to be miyashet. But let's see. Let's work together. Okay, so these are three tzarchiyuns. Again, to summarize, two in the Rambam, and that is how the Rambam read the Gemara Zuki Maskile, number one. Number two is how could the Rambam say that there's a bracha of Nenim Mishriyato if the Rambam bracha of Shahakol, the Rambam later on says Lo Nenim Bitama Shemen. And number three is the pshat in Rashi. What's that? And the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah is just highlighting the difficulty of Tzarechiyun number two. Yes. Right. Now, as I'm pointing out, the Kesef Mishnah says a little. He says that there's Hanah, but he doesn't ignore. He ignores the fact that the Rambam later on says differently. Yes, ma'am.
Why doesn't the Rambam talk about Bracha Fona by Hashem?
I'm still up to Bracha Rishonim. I don't know. You're right, that has to be addressed as well. Rabotai, the Mi'iri summarizes the sugya very, very well. In fact, there are things that the Mi'iri does here that in the past, when I learned up the sugya, where we didn't spend one day, the parts that we discussed, but I have nothing more to add to them. So for those of you who correctly want to be ambitious, the Mi'iri discusses a very important Rajba that we're not going to discuss, but he also highlights two shitas of how to read the Gemara, and in fact, I think it jumps out at you right away when you read the Ritva himself. So we'll go to the Meiri in a moment. So let's start even with the Ritva. Where's my copy of the Ritva? Can I borrow someone's? You know what? Read the Ritva out loud. I'm not much. There's not much there. Go ahead. Someone read the Ritva. Matt, you read it. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, just the beginning. Just towards the beginning. Go ahead.
that it's damaging him.
Mm-hmm.
The explanation is that it's causing a loss of the oil and it's considered like damage. It's not considered any hano at all.
Okay. So l'chura, one should notice right away that the Ritva's hezber is different than the hezber Rashi. What's the difference, Matt? It's only because you're learning so beautifully. I'm putting it on the spot. Go ahead.
Rifa doesn't mention it's not bar achila.
Very good. How did he formulate it?
There's no hana.
What does that mean? There's no hana. According to Rashi, is there hana? According to Rashi, there's probably no hana either. You're on the right track. Maybe I want to add a drop more. What's unique about the Ritva? Yes, Ezra?
He's calling that you're saying that the amount of faith and you're calling a loss of Hashem.
Very good. According to the Ritva, it sounds like he has a new Havana Zuki Nazkila. And that is that you're not treating the Shemen properly. Well, why should that affect the bracha? So talking to number four. At the end of the day, was the fellow... Is the fellow mazik from it, according to the Ritva? Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't have a bellyache. According to Rashi, first nafka means just in basic mitzvot. According to Rashi, it's clear that the fellow is damaged. According to the Ritva, maybe the fellow is not damaged. Rabotai, Torah Chiyu number four in the Ritva is why in the world would be the fact that the fellow has a bellyache, why would that adversely affect... Why the fact that the shemen is not being used ideally, in the sense that now the shemen is not being used in its ideal form, why would that affect the status of the bracha? At the end, is he nene from it? Yeah, the fellow's nene from it. He was kosher shbigrono. He now makes him feel better. According to Rashi, what you have to say is, at the end of the day, it might make his throat feel better, but if he's going to be sitting in the bathroom all day, so then Yosef Scharabev Seda. However, according to the Ritva, it sounds like that the emphasis is this part, that the Shemen itself is considered Huza. A deeper reading of the Ritva, let's continue on. According to the Ritva, the Hemshech of the Gemara is fascinating. Continue reading the Ritva, Matt. Go ahead. What's the word Legabe Truma before Legabe Truma? Kiditznan Legabe Truma, yeah. As we see when it comes to Truma, what? Oh! Then when it comes to Truma, you're being Mishan the Karen and the Chomesh. What's the omic of the Hezber of the Gemara according to the Ritva? It goes like this. In the case of where the person is being mazik, the truma, in such a case he doesn't pay a chomesh. Because we know that the chiyuv of chomesh is when a person is being meichelet. But in the case of where he's being mazik is, so then in such a case, that is not the full instance in which you pay a chomesh. What's that? What's the Ritva referring to? So that's the Gemara in Yuma on Peramidei. Amar Eish Lakish. Zor she'achal truma achilas gasa. Mishalim et hakeren ve'inu mishalim et hakeimish. Ki yoichal prat l'mazik. If the fellow is doing it in a way in which he's being mazik, he's not eating it. The chiyuv of chomesh is when he eats it in a normal way. But if he's being mazik it, then you don't get it. The chiyuv of chomesh. So Rabosai, the whole approach of the Ritva to the Gemara is the following. Since you're not using the shemen in the appropriate way, the ideal way it's supposed to be used, so then we learn out from Truma. For some reason you go to Truma and you say just like the halachi is when it comes to truma. If you're mazik and you don't use it in the way it's supposed to be used, so then you don't pay a chomesh, so too over here. But Sarachim number 4, so that's how the Ritva learns, and the Ritva learns totally different than Rashi. Because according to Rashi, the case in the Truma, the Raya is that we're seeing that in such a case is considered as Mazikim. And therefore, you don't pay the Chomesh, because that's not normal Achila. Over here, we're not focusing on the individual, over here being the Ritva, but rather, what are we focusing on? We're focusing on the fact that the Shemen is not being used in its idyllic form. So Sarachim number 4 is, according to Ritva, why should that make a difference? It is a massive, massive chiddush. And that is that he's saying that if you don't use the food in its idyllic form, even though you're nana, so then in such a case you don't get the bracha. What? Is that really so? What's going on? Just to see that we're not being overly medayik in the Rishayim, the Meiri points out exactly what we had said. This is something I had missed the first time I learned this. So it says the Meiri, Hashem Hashem Zayis Lavad Hein Rafu Kibben Chayshish Degroinay Hein Shaloi Rafuin Var Chlau She'ein Kan Shum Hano. If he just drinks the oil by itself, there's no Azra. Va'adarabalin Yin Azana Mir Mazik Ulaguf Vis-a-vis nutrition. It's being mazik the good. That's how Rashi learned. The Yesh Mefarshim, and some Mefarshim learn, Azuke mazik leya adam l'shemen. Some learn that you're being mazik the shemen. Rotelome shum afsido achar sheninen mimenu. V'chein pirshu gedoyle ha-mefarshim. And this is the gedoyle ha-mefarshim's pshat. So the Meiri already noticed that there are two mahalchim in the sugya of what exactly Azuke mazik le means. But we don't understand exactly why that should affect Hilchos Brachos. Now, who is the Gedolei HaMefarshim? Now, what's really striking is that this opinion of the Gedolei HaMefarshim actually is Rashi himself. This I saw, thanks to the footnotes in the Meiri. Rashi in Yuma, the Peyon Abeis, writes such a thing as well. He says that if you have shemen and you eat it in a way that's mazik, the item, and not only shemen, any food, if you eat it in a way that's mazik it, so then in such a case you're not chayav to pay a chomesh. In other words, not only if it's mazik you, if you're not using the food properly. Rashi on that Gemara and Pam Abay in Yuma. Says Rashi, 4 lines from the bottom, Prat Mamazik, Lezeh She'inim Mevatel Mimenu Shum Inu Yalideh Achil Azu Elo Mazik Hu Etta Oichlin Ve'et Asmon. So Rashi in Yuma says that there are two types of hezek. There's Etta Oichlin Ve'et Asmon. So Sarachim number 5 is that Rashi in Brachos, Rashi emphasizes only the individual, and not the food. When it comes to the sugya of Truma, Rashi is masking to the Ritva. But in Brachos, he doesn't learn that way. In Brachos, he learns that we focus only when we talk about magic, we're only focusing on what? We're only focusing on the individual. So why does Rashi make the chiluk? If you don't mind, Ellie, I just want to develop, and then I want to hear the harvest afterwards, okay? So Rabotai, mamish, the sugi was mamish choyshef for me for like 5-6 years. Remember I said a pejorative comment towards the beginning of this man. I said, maybe in halacha shir. I said, we're going to skip, in halacha shir, I said, the halachas of shemen and amigron are not very much halacha. And I said, all you have to know is that you have to make a bracha. Medicine, if you enjoy not knock, let's go on. I said, we're going to have to unfortunately deal with it when we're going to get up to it in the Gemara. for 5-6 years it was kosher. Until what started me off, and this is what the Talmidim of Soloveitchik said all the time, that so Reverik told me that Rav Moshe Nechemya Reichman is writing up Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim. So last night I get Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim, and he says pshat in the Rambam. And the pshat that he says in the Rambam lit up the whole sugya for me. I never understood. In other words, there's a Rav Shechter uses a line. He said that when we used to come into the shiur, so we didn't understand, and then the Rav said, you saw, and then we walked down, everything was so beautiful, was so obvious. And why didn't I realize it beforehand? So this is one of those cases where just the, what the Rav Yisod, the Das HaRambam, to answer Tzarech Iyun 1 and 2, is mayor everything. It lights the whole sugya. So let's go back. After these 5 Tzarech Iyun, let's go back to the Tzarech to be Masbir, the Shitas HaRambam. Normally we don't do this. Normally we first go through the Ritzvan Tzom, but this is one of those cases where the Rav's Mahalach and the Rambam, I think, will shed light Be'ezer Hashem on the whole sugya. And that is Tzarechim number 1 in the Rambam is, I don't remember which one's 1 or 2. The Rambam, we had 2 Tzarechim. Number 1, yes, Tzarechim we had was Azuke Maskele. If it's Azuke Maskele, then why is it that you're going to get a bracha? And number 2 in the Gemara, and number 2 is, how could you say that there's going to be a bracha on the Shemen at the end of the day? The Rambam himself says, Shaharei lo nena mitam Hashemen. So what type of hana is this that you're going to make a shahako? So the Rav taina the following chiddush. The Rav suggested, that's why I have my computer here, because it's still on. I just got an email last night, and it's not in printed form yet. I'm not even allowed to give it to you in printed form. I guess we could print out one copy, because it's still unedited. The Rav suggested the following mahalach. He wanted to say that based on what we see in Rashi, and I'm saying in a different way, I'm building the sugi my own way. I'm just saying Rav Yisod and building it Be'ez Hashem our own way. What do we see in Rashi in Yuma? There are two ways that you could be mazik a priest. One way is if you're mazik, the halacha prat l'mazik when it comes to truma. One is if you're mazik the pri, that you don't eat it in its ideal way. And number 2 is that you're magic yourself. In both of those cases, by truma, you're going to be puffed. And Rav Soloveitchik brought out in many rites in the Rambam that that's so as well. But you don't even need the Rambam. I think it's easier enough. If you want, I'll give you Rav Soloveitchik's rites. He brought out that when it comes to Maaser Sheni and Shvius, you also find it. But it's the Rashi. I think once you see from Rashi, there's 2 halachas in Yuma on a Pama basis. The brisker style to bring all the rites out from the Rambam, but it's the Rashi. If you want to look up the Rambam, who bring out this idea that there's 2 different ways in which a person could be mazik, and that there's a chiyuv for you to eat it in its ideal way. The Rambam writes that in Maaser Sheni, in Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Aleph, in regards to Maaser Sheni, as well as in Shmiyas, you have that halacha, the famous halacha, that in Shmita you have to eat it in its ideal form, and not in an unidealic form. That means that even if you are eating it, let me spell it out, even if you are eating it in a way that's normal for a person to eat, if you're eating it in a way that's not normal for the ideal way for the item to be used, so then in such a case, then you're being mevatel the mitzvah of way truma is supposed to be eaten. Okay, so what do we see again? We see that there's a halacha when it comes to truma that you're supposed to be eating it, and Maaser Sheni and in Shemitah, that there's an idyllic way in which the item is supposed to be eaten. And therefore, someone who doesn't is considered a mazik, but Rashi we saw, then in such a case, he's not going to be chayiv a chomesh. The Rav Tainan, that these halachos of truma and mazik, he was mechadesh, also apply to Birchas Hanen. He claims that according to the Rambam, you cannot make a Borei Priya Eitz or a Borei Priya Adama if you eat the fruit in a way that's not its idyllic form. So, even if a person is Nenet, and even if it's not the Derech Hezek, If at the end of the day the pri is not being eaten in its idyllic form, then it cannot get ha'etz. So what's the pshat according to the Rambam, the azuke marskile? Azuke marskile means that even in Birchas Hanenin, you're not utilizing the fruit in the way it's supposed to be utilized. And Rabosai, don't be such kalta litvak to not realize that there's a great machshava in this idea as well. And that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts everything in the world that you're supposed to use it in its idyllic form. And that's what, if you're not using it in its idyllic form, then it doesn't get the Baruch Priya Eitz. But maybe you know that's connected to the Ma'aral about bringing out the Nitzot. Every Brahma brings out the Nitzot of the fruit. Right? There's an idyllic way the fruit is supposed to be eaten, and the bracha expresses that. Every part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world has to be used in, is supposed to be used in an idyllic way. Now, of course, we're not always perfect. But get the shahakal, but it's not going to get an eight. It's not going to get an eight. It's not being used in its idyllic form. Please excuse the machshava. Those are the brackets. Now, if that's so, in Kanim HaDvarim, then the Pshat in the Rambam, the Rav says like this. Kivan da azuke maskile, even in Birka Tanenin, you're not using it in its idyllic form. And therefore, the bracha is going to be shahako. That's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is not saying that the bracha is going to be nothing, but rather the Gemara is saying it's not being used in its idyllic form. It's amazing. The Rav says that's also the pshat in the sefer of the Rambam. Then answers the other sarachi in the sefer Rambam. Sharei lo nene b'tam Hashemen. He wasn't nene for the time of Hashemen. It doesn't say he wasn't nene. The Ketzer Mishnah is right. He was nene, but he wasn't nene b'tam Hashemen. This is not the way the Shemen is supposed to be used. The Shemen is supposed to be used. That's not the ideal. Now, the time according to the way the Rav is reading is like the ideal expression. This is not Tam Shemen. If you want to get Tam Shemen, do it all you day on Nigron. That's the way to get Tam Shemen. That's Hesnish Tam. This is not the idealist way to use it. If that's so, then we understand why it goes down to a Shahako. Oh. Beautiful pshat in the Rambam. This is, of course, partly the way the Ritva is understanding the Sugya. The Ritva is understanding the Sugya exactly like this. What was our Tzarki and Badat Ritva? Why should you look at Truma? No. According to the Ritva, if you're not using the fruit in its idyllic fashion, so then in such a case, then Azuki Maskile, to the point that the Ritva is being Mechadish as an effect of Rafa. What's the Ritva going to say? Why will the Ritva at least not say it gets a shahako? Right? Sarafian, what does the Ritva say about what bracha it gets when it's a zuke maskule of the priest? It's only a certain amount that you could accomplish in one shir on the sugya. But according to the Ritva, that's going to be the hemshech ha-gemara. So that answers that Sarafian. The Rav brought lots of rayas to this. I think you could debate every single one of the rayas, but the Rav thought that this you showed was correct. Across the board, which is going to get him into Tampa. When he is writing his popular rayas, but listen to these beautiful rayas. They're beautiful in the sense of how he just put the whole parrot together. Just very quickly. We're going to come back to, God willing, all these sugyas. Alamis has some debates. The Gemara discusses cooked fruits. Cooked vegetables. 7 lines into Rashi. On the Chesman base. Kol yerek hanecho chai shetchilot zbar pi adama. Shoku afkin malchil igurish nevarach shehako. The kol yerek, that means that a vegetable is normally in raw. If you cook it, it gets a shehako. The kol yerek she'en darko liyecho chai shetchilot zbar pi adama. Shehako hu mebarach. The halacha is that if it's normally in cooked, so then it gets a shehako. So what's the pshat? So the Rav claimed that the pshat is like this. He claimed that the pshat is that the fruit is not the vegetable when it is normally eaten. If it's normally, let's take the second Rashi. A yeret she'ein darko lechol chai, If you eat a chai, so then in such a case it's a fruit. It's true, it's already a fruit. But at the end of the day, you're not using it in its idyllic form. And if you're not using it in its idyllic form, you have to get a shahakol. Another example. We're going to do these sugyas by itself, Bezer Hashem. Another example, korah. Korah is a case which is very similar to today's bamboo shoots. You know, it's very funny. These are the same bamboos that ultimately you put on top of a sukkah, basically. The same, it grows in the same manner. How does it work? You have these vegetables that eventually, if they stay, they continue to grow and grow and grow, they turn hard. So if it depends on which stage you eat it. If you eat it at normal stage, then it gets a bar priyadama. If you eat it at the abnormal stage, then in such a case, it gets a shahako. What's going on? I'm not quoting actually the sugya entirely, but I'm oversimplifying, but I just want to bring out these cells. What's going on? It's not using the fruit or vegetable in its idyllic state. That's the case card. If you want me to show you the maramakam over here, we're going to get to it. We're not too far away. It's on lamed vav lamed aleph. Color of Yehuda Amar Baruch Pi Adamo Shmuel Amar Shachom Yibed Vav. That's Raya number two. According to Man Amar that says that you get a shahako when it's not, is because it's not yet in its idyllic state. That's Raya number two. Raya number three, he brings a Raya from Kimcha Dechita. What happens if you have wheat that a person eats raw? So then it's such a case, the bracha is shahako. Why? Because it's an ideal way to eat wheat. If you're kosei schita, it could be you can get a dama. If you chew on the wheat, then maybe you can get a dama. If you turn it into bread, it gets hamotzi. But if you're eating it, it's on a dill, it's four times such a case as shahako. Geshmak. These are three rayas that what do we see? We see this idea that if the fruit is not being eaten in its idyllic form, so then such a case is a shahako. So that's only a very close stone throw away, just to say what? Just to say that over here, the reason why on a shemen you're going to get a shahako according to Rambam is because you're not using it in its idyllic form. So therefore, that leads, if I read the notes carefully, that leads of Soloveitchik to say, so what's going on in Rashi? So why doesn't Rashi learn this pshat? He says, everybody is this. He says, the Rav here, when the Rav got an idea in his head, this was Yikov Adin HaTahar, it was going to explain every sugya and shat. So he said, so then what's going on in Rashi? Rashi doesn't make any sense. So he said, you have to say that according to Rashi, the Metziyus, it wasn't true by Shemen. By Shemen, it was that it was a Zuke Maski, it really damaged the body. The Rambam held not that way, and Rashi held this way. That's how the Rav, if I understood, we have to speak to Ramesh and Nechemi, but if I understood the notes correctly, that's what how we learned. I'd like to suggest, Be'ezer Hashem, a different shot than what. Taking everything that what Rav Yosha Ber Zatzal suggested, I just like to, ultimately he was Meir Einenu, I just want to say a slightly different hesber on what's going on in Rashi. Be'ezer Hashem. We pointed out Rashi himself has both dinim when it comes to Truma. Rashi himself learned that when it comes to Truma, you could have mazik on the chefet, and you could have mazik on the person. Lemia's daiti, Rashi disagrees with the whole hezber in the Rambam. And that is, that Rashi holds no. Rashi holds that if at the end of the day, the person gets hana'a from it, even if you're not eating it in its idyllic form, so then in such a case, the bracha is the bore pri ha'ech. In other words, Rashi cannot learn azuke maskile the way the Rambam had learned, as explained, let's say, by the Ritva, or as Rav Soloveitchik was mechadesh b'das Rambam. No, that's not true. It's just wrong. If at the end of the day, the person gets hana'a from it, and his body is not huzak, it's not damaged, so even if it's not, where did he get this rule from? That just because the fruit is not, you're not using it in its idyllic form, is truma and it's understood. There's three dinim in mazik. There's one dinim mazik vis-a-vis the chester shel truma, and then there's another halacha mazik vis-a-vis himself. But in Birkas HaNevin, that shouldn't be so. Rashi is good. Why should that be so? If Birkas HaNevin, at the end of the day, the person's nene, who cares about the fact that he's not using it in its idyllic form? Either Ma'aral, so we'll have an answer for the Ma'aral. That's not going to make us back down in Shat and Rashi.
At the end of the day, he has anah. If he has anah, then that's enough.
And everything is meduyik in Rashi. Rashi in Yuma Napeyam Ebeis, the Meiri is wrong. The Magi on the Meiri is wrong. Rashi in Yuma Napeyam Ebeis is talking about the halacha of Mazik by Truma. Then he mentions both dinim. But that's not the sheet of Rashi by us over here. The Yesh Mefarshim might be the Ritva. But not like the Magia said it was Messiah to Rashi and Yuma. Why? Because Rashi by us disagrees. Rashi by us holds that as long as at the end of the day you get Hana, then the Theo of Bracha is going to be the same. Hence Rashi learns Azuke Maskele differently. So it could be the way the Rav said that at the end of the day, maybe there's a Machlokes Tosfos, but you don't even need that. What they're coming from is the Yesod of, is Azuke Maskele a din? Dafka in the individual, if it's mazik him, then in such a case it doesn't get a bracha, as Rashi argues. Or no, even if you're no longer using it in its idyllic form, so then it's not going to get a bracha. Rashi agrees that's called a zuki maskile someplace in the shot. But that's only vis-a-vis trumas and maestras. It's not vis-a-vis the halachas of birchas hanenya. Im kainim advarim, so maybe that's the pshat also in the difficult Rashi. This is the Lashon Ulai. This is the biggest chiddush of today. It's based on what Simcha said. I'm just taking what Simcha said and just putting it in a bigger context. The last Sarachion that we've had, let's go over. Rabbo said we had 5 Sarachions. Let's go over all the Sarachions to make sure that's clear how we were miyashay, all 4 of them. I'm terrible at keeping track of the word, because the Sarachion, this is my sheet that I have learned. I never, in Shir, my Talmidim know, in Shir I always lose track of the Sarachions. And the reason is I prepare a lot for Shir, but I don't prepare the order of the Sarachions. And the reason for that is, Sarachions, as we're learning together, Sarachions, look, Josh gave us the first Sarachion. Sometimes I'll say, I'm going to ignore your question because it's not going to help where I'm going. But a lot of times, so I don't remember the order of the Sarachions because I didn't prepare that. The Mahalach of how to read up every word I tried to prepare. But the order of the Sarachions is just as it comes up. In fact, most of what I end up talking about in Shir is what we discuss in Seder. I just give you a couple Mar Makomos. But a large part of the thrust is as we're learning it up in Seder. They say that this is a Masorah from Reb Chaim. They had an expression, Gemara in Kedushin says, Rechaim b'tzavaro v'yasok b'torah. The Gemara discusses whether it's possible for a person to get married and still continue learning. So the man who says that you're not supposed to get married first, but you're supposed to learn first, so he says, Rechaim b'tzavaro, you have all these pressures of parnasa. V'yasok b'torah, and you're going to be also torah. It's not possible. We actually, it seems, don't pass like that, Gemara, that a person could get married at a younger age. Supposed to, but shon esro l'chuppah. But they say that in Velazhin, Reb Chaim had no airs about him. Reb Chaim didn't carry himself as an austere Rosh Yeshiva. There are stories galore about this. not just humility. Reb Chaim just, I don't think Reb Chaim had thought that he was small, but he wasn't into the standard Rosh Yeshiva Mahalach. First of all, Reb Chaim's house was entirely patuach l'adam. It was open to everybody. Ad kidei kach that there were Hashavas Aveda signs on the wall of Reb Chaim's living room. Everybody used to hang out there. So one sign said, lost an umbrella. Another sign said looking for a ride, looking for a donkey ride to such and such place. That was what was in Reb Chaim's living room. They say one time the Briska Rav's kids, saw that their father wasn't feeling well, so they asked him to lay down to go to sleep. So he said, no, I'm going to sit in the chair, I'll rest in the chair. So afterwards he got up, he said, oh, I feel a lot better. So he said, Daddy, we saw that you needed to take a rest. So he said, but we don't understand. You yourself were told that you needed a rest, that you didn't go to the bed. So he said, you don't understand. For me, the best sleep is in a chair, because when I used to come home, most of the time I used to come home, my bed, as a child, learning in the yeshiva, there was a yeshiva that Reb Chaim had opened in Brisk. So most of the time, when I used to come home, So, by the way, Reb Chaim didn't even really say shiurim there. It was Ramesha Sakalovsky said shiurim. But most of the time when I used to come home, there was someone else sleeping in my bed. The beggars felt so at home in Reb Chaim's house that most of the time they used to go to sleep in Reb Elul's bed. He said most nights I ended up sleeping in a shiur. So my gears of the Yankish of a good sleep is sleeping in a shiur. I say that Reb Chaim Zuchus of being the pioneer of Torah in the last 100 years, that he's the gold standard. Avrami correctly so brought to, what he brings to Shomer Kolo, brought Gemara, Kovet Mefarshim, Sichas Musar Reb Chaim Shmuel Levis, and Kedusha Reb Chaim Alevi Al Rambam. So maybe I missed one or two things. But why Reb Chaim? The answer is Reb Chaim is the gold standard in the Olam HaTorah. I think that Reb Chaim is not only a gold standard for all the intellectual papers that have been written, what Reb Chaim done for learning and so on. At the end of the day, the reason was Reb Chaim had a special schus min HaShemayim, that he was the embodiment of Chesed. And for that, he had the schus of intellect to represent the Olam HaTorah of what is the ultimate in intellect as well. Intellect can't live in a vacuum. It has to be connected to being Me'urav and Abriyas and defining who a person is. And it's amazing. In that loony bin of a house is where Reb Chaim wrote Kedusha Reb Chaim Alevi Al Rambam. That's mind-boggling. Ram Willett, whose son's bris we're going to tomorrow, told me, I don't understand. He said that Rabbi Willig Shlita, when he was a child, Rabbi Willig did not have his own room where he learned. He learned in the living room. And I've heard from other sources that the Willig boys weren't always the quietest boys. They were quite levited. And when they were climbing the walls, there Rabbi Willig was sitting in the living room and learning. Ram says all the shilas he remembers hearing shilas in the background, his father responding to different shilas as he was playing ball and so on. So he somehow sat there in the living room. He had a desk in the living room with a few svarim, and that's where he answered shilas, and that's where he learned. Somehow there's a certain segula that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to people who are determined to embody Chesed and Torah. It's a special zchus. So we need to still be Mazbir Rashi, right? We need to still be Mazbir Rashi. But there was a reason why I started with the stories in Bris. Oh yes, Reb Chaim Al Torah Yafik B'Torah. So Reb Chaim used to walk into the Beis Medrash. Reb Chaim used to walk into the Beis Medrash and he used to come. Now, how to prepare Shia, right? That's what we're up to. Answering all the Tarachim. So Reb Chaim said like this. He used to come into the Beis Medrash and he used to go over to Reb Zalman and say, "What's bothering you?" And the sugya, Reb Zalman used to tell him what was bothering him. And he'd go over to Reb Naftali and he would say, "Reb Naftali, what's bothering you?" And the sugya, and he would say, "What was bothering you?" And then Reb Chaim would come into Shir, and somehow everything that the Talmidim were bothered by, he would develop a mahalach and a sugya that would touch on everything that the Talmidim were bothered by. The point is that Reb Chaim was very, very. This is a cheap word to use, but was very, very democratic in the sense that what the Talmidim were bothered by, that was what he discussed. It's not that he came in with an agenda that he was preaching to the Talmidim. He learned with the Talmidim. So I can't do all of that. For sure, I can't do one millionth of it. But one thing is that the Tzarachiyuns, we learn up the Gemara, and as the Tzarachiyuns, I'm sure Reb Chaim would be able to develop into his Mahalach, all the Tzarachiyuns, what everybody is on their mind. Obviously, it has to be legitimate questions. You have to be on a certain madrega. It wasn't just some, Rebbe, what does this word in Rashi mean? That's not where Rebbe Zalman was holding. But the things that were bothering them in the sugya, after a couple of days, he would pull the thing together. So I think it's very, very important that I don't prepare the Tzarachiyuns. The Tzarachiyuns are as they come up together. Some things I'm not going to be able to get to. So the Josh's question was very, very helpful. What are, according to Rambam, is the Zukei Maski? All right, so let's just review what the Tzarachiyuns are. Number one, now I've reminded myself what Tzarachiyun number one was, and that is, at the end of the day, how did the Rambam understand? Was that number one? Just correct me, because I don't keep score. I have, in Shir, I have a rule that there's someone who keeps score of the Tzarachiyuns. Now, number one is the Zukei Maske. At the end of the day, according to Rambam, what type of Hezek is it? So the answer to that question is, it's a Hezek in the Chefetz of the pri. And once a hez is going to save it to a pri, then it goes down from bar priya eight to a shahakol. Sarachiyu number two was at the, how does the Rambam say sharei nenem b'tam hashemen? At the end of the day, he is nenem. So the answer is yes, he's nenem, but he's not nenem b'tam hashem. What was sarachiyu number three? Oh, yeah, that the Rashi, that's the Sarachim we haven't answered. That at the end of the day, why does Rashi call the Chalta? The Chalta doesn't make any sense. The Chalta is by what? The Chalta is the Bracha Achrona. Here we're talking about the Hagdara of the Bracha Rishona. What was Sarachim number four? The Rizva. According to Rizva, it's beautiful. The Rizva is the Mechadesh. And again, what ripple effects this has for the Rizva is a little bit beyond our scope right now. In many ways, and this way I'm not like my Rebbe Rosenzweig, that in many ways the Ritzva for me just sometimes becomes a tool to understand the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and Rambam. That's in that way I follow closer to what Rav Schechter said here in this building. For those of you here by the Malav Malka, by the Shana Bet Malav Malka, Rav Schechter said that Rav Soloveitchik didn't use a lot of Rishonim. His goal was to be Masber, Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and Rambam. I remember once Rav Schechter and Shir and Miller Beisa said, the Rajba says like this, and then he stopped and he said, and why do I know this Rajba? He says, I don't read Rajba. Said, but the Chassam Sefer quotes this Rajba. See, so this Rajba is very, very important, the Chassam Sefer quotes. And then he stopped and he said, and why do I read Chuvah Chassam Sefer? It's a good question, I don't know. And then he kept on talking. So it's well known that Rav Schechter Bli Ayin Hara is he should have many, many healthy years as a genius, and he reads Achronim, he doesn't forget anything that they say. But his style is in those days, in the Rav Shir. The Rav covered a lot of ground, and that's where he developed his style. Gemara Rashi tells us Rambam. So we could allow ourselves maybe a Ritzvah here, but sometimes I do the Ritzvah just as a way to understand Gemara Rashi tells us Rambam. So the implication of this Ritzvah, I'm Moda, is very, very profound. I didn't cheshbon everything out, but I tried to cheshbon out good pshat in Rashi and Rambam. Okay, so now, the Ritva will learn the Pshat like this. The answer to Sarachiyu number four is, he learns that the Shakot HaYezuke Mazki is, at the end of the day, you're being Mazik to Chayfet. And therefore, the Hashva is to Betruma, where you're being Mazik to Chayfet. Not according to Rashi, who's taking the other din of being Mazik to Truma, where you're being Mazik himself. Now, the implication of the Ritva is profound. For example, would the Ritva then say, you make a Shahako like Rambam? Mehechi Teshi, whoa. You know, Eisenstein, you're going a little bit far. I don't know. I'm not sure. But that's something that requires Iyun. Now, for the last Sarachian, the Lashon Ulai the Efsher, in Rashi, maybe one could say like this. Simcha wanted to be Masbir, that Rashi, when he quotes Valchalta, fits in beautifully with the Kesef Mishnah that's connected to tomorrow's Sugya for Shavuot Tamuz. And that is that we saw a Kesef Mishnah on Aleph Beis, that the halacha is that someone tastes something on a tainis, if it's more than a revius, even if he's tasting just for after a tainis, then it's considered a fiyat. If he tastes less than that, then it's not considered a fiyat. Same thing for a bracha. If you have a revius, even though you don't intend to have any hana, your palate is not enjoying, at the end of the day, then the halacha is that you're going to be chayv. Why? So the Kesef Mishnah, last time we saw, said that the reason for that is because even though your palate didn't enjoy, but at the end of the day, once we say Valchalta, that there's a Hagdara of Sevilla, so too for the Bracha Achrona also we have a Hagdara, you use that Hagdara as well. Again, what does that mean? That when it comes to Bracha Rishona, normally the moment you're Nena, you're going to be Chayiv, to make a Bracha. However, what happens if you're not Nena? The reason why you're tasting is because you want to see if the food is good. Not if the food is too salty. So if you want to see if the food is too salty, so then in such a case you're not being nenem. But if you already have a revius, all right, so then you already have sevius. Says the Kesef Mishnah, or a shir, whatever the shir might be. Says the Kesef Mishnah, Valchalta informs the Bracha Rishon. So me and Matt had a good machlokas. Matt might be right. How to be mazbir, what the chiddush of the Kesef Mishnah was, Vamevin Yavin. But that's not what I'm bringing out right now. But what do you see from the Kesef Mishnah? You see from the Kesef Mishnah that the achalta is sometimes mazbir the Bracha Rishona. The Chalta is sometimes not the Bracha Rishona. When we're talking about the Darga of Hana of Sviya. That there are two types of Hana for Bracha Rishona according to the Kesef Mishnah. One type of Hana is the Hana of the palate. And then there's another type of Hana that requires the Bracha Rishona. Even if your palate is not Nene, because you're just checking if it's too salty, you have no interest to eat this whatsoever. But nevertheless, you need to make a Bracha Rishona because of the sviya that you're going to have. If you're going to know that you have to taste the revius, so in such a case you have to make a bracha. In Kainim Advar, Simcha wants the taina, that's what Rashi is bringing out over here. That when it comes to the v'achalta here at times informs the bracha rishona. I was bothered, but at the end of the day, his pshat is nice. All right, he shtel tzu a kesef mishnah. Simcha is very good. Bli ayin hara, he remembers everything. But I always scream at Simcha. It's not enough to throw back to me backwards all the shitas that Rav Shabalovsky Shlita says over in the shir. He doesn't forget any one of them. Bli ayin hara. But at the end of the day, it's not enough. You need to understand. Why would that be so? Why is the kesef mishnah relevant to Rashi? Be'ezer Hashem, now I know why it's relevant to Rashi. Because we learned that the Havana of Azuke Mazke, the pshat is that according to Rashi, by definition, once you have any type of Hana'a, even if it's not the ideal Hana'a, then by definition you're going to make a bracha. The point is that at the end of the day, is the person being Nene. So just like we see when it comes to Sevilla, that at the end of the day the person is Nene, it gets a bracha Rishona. From the word v'achalta, like the Kesef Mishnah says, so too, when it comes to the halacha of what? When it comes to the halacha of bracha rishona vis-a-vis shemen. Dahainu, I'm not interested in the fact that the fruit is not being used in its ultimate way. The raya is that even if a person uses the fruit not at all in its idyllic way, he uses the fruit just to taste. But if in any way he's getting anah, by definition it's mechayev a bracha. So too the Kesef Mishnah said that over here, so too Rashi is saying it as well. That the v'achalta, at the end, this year's anah, it's magdir. It's not the chesed of the pre that's magdir. What magdir is, the person's anah. It's still a leap in Rashi, at the end of the day, to say that Rashi is, that's what Rashi means by v'achalta, but I do have a Kesef Mishnah that says it. Maybe the Talmidim will find that in other cases Rashi learns the bracha from it. And the point is that it no longer focuses on the idyllic state of the fruit, it focuses on the individual's hana. And v'achalta v'savata l'rachta says that if you were soveya, then you have to make a bracha. So too here, even if you don't use the pre in its idyllic form, then that's enough to be mechayev bracha. Ulai v'ulai, this is shot in the Rashi. But everything else is definitely based on what the Rava said, is emes lamito in terms of how to learn up the subject. Okay, as Rav Yossi said, Be'ezer Hashem, the schedule for tomorrow, we'll go to Rav Yashiv before, that has to, the shir is not important, that's part of what has to be on the recording, we're going to Rav Yashiv at 9 o'clock, that's a joke. For the Brit.